We read from the 8th chapter of John's Gospel, verses 31 and 32, where Jesus says, "And Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' Thank you for these words of truth, O Lord, and now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen." Please be seated. What would you do for freedom? Ask the people in Tunisia and Egypt and Libya and other Arab countries in the world where we've been watching lately. So many people gathering in public squares, protesting as they are clamoring for their freedom, their rights. Even in Madison, Wisconsin, right? We've seen people gather there too, because they want to express their freedom about things. They want to express their rights, their freedom for expression, and so on. Whether or not you and I agree with all of the things going on in these protests and so on, we understand that freedom means a lot to us, doesn't it? Think about what it really does mean for our life. We too treasure highly, don't we? Freedom of religion, freedom of politics, freedom of speech, and we can think of an awful lot of others. Probably even freedom from classes this next week for everybody too. I'm sure that rates on your list somewhere. In the words that Jesus speaks here in John chapter 8, he uses the word free. He's talking about a freedom for us. And you know, this is the most important freedom of all. And how important is that freedom really to each of us? I know that it rates high on our list, doesn't it? It ought to. Well, in the lesson for today, we know we should back it up a little bit here as far as who Jesus was talking with. He was talking with a whole crowd of Jews, and some of the Jews believed in him, and many of them did not. Many of them even scoffed at the idea that Jesus would suggest that they needed to be free. We're Abraham's descendants. We've never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we got to be set free? They, of course, were thinking of some physical kind of slavery under a tyrannical ruler. And yet Jesus, of course, was referring to a spiritual bondage that really affects all people by nature, including you and me and all others. He says, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Before we would thumb our noses, though, at the unbelieving Jews who had a hard time understanding their own spiritual slavery that way, we've got to ask ourselves, too, at times, could a spiritual slavery always be creeping up on us, too? We're in it by nature because of our sins. We know we've been freed through Christ, and yet, at the same time, can there still be things that happen in our life, too, where it's creeping up on us again and again? I'm told that in Africa there are families over there that have been for such a long time in a slave situation that they don't know of anything else. They don't even have a clue what it would be like to have freedom. Instead, slavery is just their common way of life. That's what they're used to. Could this happen to us too? Because of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh around us, and because so many in the world around us continue to live in this slavery of sin, spiritual slavery, too, can it happen that it creeps up on us this way also, without our hardly even recognizing it? Do we find ourselves loving the world, what it has to offer, and not paying much attention anymore to what God says in His Word regarding things that are very clear in the area of morality? How about spending so much time on stuff that we could say brings short-term fluff, but not so much time on the word supernal that brings life eternal? Then, too, could it be a more subtle way, too, that it can creep up on us, and that is by just being discontented about one station in life, shall we say, maybe your student situation even, or your family situation, or kind of wondering about your future. It doesn't seem very promising, seems very bleak. rather than trusting in the promises that God gives, that he has a reason for where you are at this time in your life and where he'll always provide for you and take care of you. Could it be, as is the case on many college campuses today, where people are imagining some kind of a spiritual freedom to be not being bound to anything in a book? No. But rather taking, okay, some things from a book like that, but gathering bits and pieces from all the world religions and trying to find your spiritual freedom that way. Or could it also be that a spiritual kind of enslaving is coming in as one thinks that they're holding to God's holy word, but rather looking upon the word of God as only a book of rules, regulations, how-to manual. I recall that a famous psychologist, Christian psychologist, in his radio program one time made the statement that the central message of the whole Bible is the Ten Commandments. Friends, if that's what it is, boy, that's a slaving situation. We know the Ten Commandments are important, but if that's all it is, that's the center of the Scripture, we're lost. We're in an enslaving situation. But, dear friends, though we are in a situation because of sin that would condemn us, not give us life at all, we have been set free. And the freedom that comes to us comes only one way. It's through the Son, who is the truth. In a household situation where there's a master and a son and a slave, we all know that the rights that would pass on, the inheritance rights, would go to the son, right? Not to the slave. The slave can't expect that at all. In fact, you'll continue to live in slavery. But if the son, who really has the rights to the inheritance and gets those rights, then gives those rights, the inheritance rights, the freedom rights, to the slave, that slave really is free indeed, because the son has the power to grant it. And plugging ourselves, of course, into this picture, we see ourselves that way, don't we? We're in the slave situation by nature because of sin, and yet the Son, who is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, he has set us free. Because of his holy life for us, his suffering and death at the cross, his rising from the tomb, he has set us free. He's given us life. He's freed us from the guilt and punishment of our sins, and therefore we do have life. And Jesus said, right before the words of our text, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And in the book of Romans, it's interesting, we have this remark too. Now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. But now here's the text, and that is this. If the Son is the one, and he's the truth, who sets us free, how is it that that truth is made ours personally? How does it come to us? Jesus said to the believing Jews here, if you abide in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The word of God, we could say, that Jesus is referring to here, this word of truth about Jesus as the truth, is the pipeline that brings all the blessings of Christ's cross, you might say, from that reservoir of God's love for the world and for you and me personally. And it brings that right down into the hearts, each one of our hearts. If someone were to ask you, how do you know that you have the benefits of Christ? How do you know you really have this kind of freedom that gives life? Well, answer as Martin Luther did when he said, we can definitely assert that where the Lord's Supper, baptism, and the Word are found, there Christ, the remission of sins, and life eternal are found. And finally, we just want to note this, though, a very important phrase here, and that is where Jesus says, if you abide in my word. The word in the Greek language here is really remain or stay or dwell in. Make it a constant part of one's life, just as you love to be in your home even and abide in it that way. Right here at Bethany College, look at the wonderful opportunity you have. Great privilege from our God to give you day in and day out instructors and people around you on this campus who are directing you to Christ and to the truths of God's holy word, no matter what class it is, directing you and reminding you of the real truth. Here too in chapel and so on. Great opportunities and being in discussions with your fellow students that way. Thank God for that opportunity. But what will happen when you leave Bethany someday? What's going to happen? Will you stay? Will you abide in the Word? Will you abide in it also for not just yourself, but whatever God grants you in terms of spouse and family situation? Will it always be an abiding place for you? May God grant that it really will be that, because of the fact that we have this truth from the Son of God that sets us free. And Jesus, the truth, tells us, now go to my word of truth. Stay in my word. And we pray too, don't we? Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Enjoy the freedom and pass it on.